I could start by talking about your father and where he was born.
Let me see. He was probably born. I'm not sure about the hospital, but when he was very little, he lived in Muscadet. And so whether my grandmother had him in Muscadet, see, this is one of the things that I really don't know, or whether she was at a hospital in Madison. I have a feeling that he was born in Madison, that most of them were, and my grandfather was a peddler.
What kind of things did he sell?
Have any idea, I suppose, harnesses and housewares and, you know, I just think that they had everything. And he died in an accident the same year, I think, that I was born. So that I really never truly knew my grandfather, but I knew my grandmother. And because she lived to be a pretty old lady, and she lived mostly with her daughter, my aunt, who was the only girl. So she lived with her. And when she moved to Milwaukee, then Grandma moved to Milwaukee too. I really don't remember. I'm sure she had to be in her 80s when she died. I remember going to her funeral. And I suppose my earliest memories are living in Spring Green, the little girl. I think my parents lived in Spring Green when I was born. I was born in Chicago at the Lyman Hospital, but we lived in Spring Green. And then from there, we moved to Muscadet, and maybe I was in the second grade or the third grade by that time, and lived there until I was probably, I think I graduated from eighth grade in Muscadet. And then about the time I started high school, we had moved back to Spring Green. And I think I probably, that was the crash and the no money part, where everything fell apart and all the department stores and all of the cheese factories and farms and everything kind of fell apart. Principally, I think, because all of these uncles of mine who were married to city girls, and the city girls didn't want to stay in the small towns any longer. So one by one, they pulled out, and with them, they pulled out their money. So that when the crash came, there wasn't enough capital to weather all this. So my father started another store. I mean, they were gone, and he started his own business in Spring Green. And at that point, I went to junior high in Madison. My mom and my brother and I lived in an apartment here while my father struggled to start a new business. And then we moved back. He opened another store, and we moved back to Spring Green. And then I was sent to Los Angeles to live with my aunt and uncle to go to high school. Graduated from high school. So then I really didn't go back to Spring Green until after I was married and stayed there for the duration of the war and helped my father. So really, the time that I was maybe a freshman in ninth grade, I was probably a sophomore and a junior, maybe, in Spring Green, and sent away for my senior year. I think that's what it was. So the boys and girls, they did things that I wasn't allowed to do, to go to the roadhouse to dances, and they drank beer, and they sat around in taverns. And I, you know, I really wasn't allowed to do this.
You expected to marry a Jewish boy?
Oh, absolutely. So there was a Jewish boy in a town not very far away who I absolutely couldn't stand, and it was the kind of thing where you go every Sunday, you went with your parents to visit them, you know, you went back and forth. And I remember my father telling me that if I didn't invite this boy to the junior prom, I couldn't go. And I said, tuck, I wouldn't go then. I couldn't, you know, it was just one of these things. So then I think probably what triggered my being sent off, because there really isn't anything for a Jewish girl if your parents are, you know. And to go to temple or Sunday school was a long drive when I was a kid. It wasn't like today, people who live in Janesville or any of these outlying places come and bring their children to Sunday school every Sunday. And they come in, well, I don't think they come Friday nights, but they do come for the holidays and everything. But then it was not such a quickie trip. And so really and truly, I don't know, you must have some questions from the things that Joel told you that I might be able to.
Starting back with your grandmother, I think. Do you know what kind of work she did?
I think she was just a housewife. I'm sure that she just stayed home and took care of the house and her children. And I really saw very little of my grandmother until, because she never lived in the same town that I did. We lived either in Madison, Spring Green, or Muscadet. My grandmother, by that time, lived in Boscobel, where my aunt and uncle had one of the department stores there. And when they left there and moved to Milwaukee, then my grandmother moved to Milwaukee also. But I was a pretty little girl then. So I really, and to go from Madison to Milwaukee was a great big trip. So I really didn't see my grandmother very much until after I was, well, quite grown, probably in high school, and then maybe saw her maybe a couple times a year was all. So I don't really remember too much about her, but then by this time, you see, her family was all grown, and she was really, my aunt worked, and so she really kept house.
What did your aunt do?
She worked in Milwaukee for, I think she worked at Kimball's, right, now that I'm remembering. In the office, I think, at Kimball's.
Do you know what she did?
Not really, probably office work. She did. She worked in the millinery department at one point, I remember, but I don't know how far along. And then I think she worked in the office, and she probably just did office work. I don't really remember.
Was your grandmother born in this country?
I don't think so. No. Now you're talking about my father's mother, right?
Yes.
I'm sure they weren't. I'm sure that neither she nor my grandfather were born here. But I think their children were. But whether they all were or not, I don't know. Ben, who was the oldest, did Joel have anything to say about that?
I think you said that they were born.
All of them. Mm-hmm. I think so.
What about your maternal side?
My grandmother and grandfather came from Russia. And my mother was born, I think, on the ship coming over. And they went to Chicago and lived in Chicago, and that's where my father met my mother. He had gone to Chicago to visit some cousins or something and met my mother. Well, in the meantime, my mother's family moved to Los Angeles. So my father decided that this was who he wanted to marry, and he went to Los Angeles. And I'm sure that they weren't very happy for my mother to go to such a little town. But she did, and she lived there, you know, very happily.
What kind of job did he have?
Who?
Your grandfather.
What kind of a job did he have? He was a lumber merchant in Russia. And when he came here, he manufactured, or, yeah, I guess, ladies' clothing.
Did he set up a store?
I don't know. I think it was strict. I think it was wholesale. I don't really think he had a store. Isn't that awful? See, these are the things you don't know. You don't remember it. I mean, just kind of what I remember as a little girl. And the reason I say that is because my uncles also, then his sons, did the same thing. And I think probably this was an outgrowth of what he did.
How many sons did he have?
Let me see. There were two girls and three boys.
And they went into clothing manufacturing?
My two uncles did. The third uncle, he just had a good time. I don't really know what he ever did.
Where did they live?
In Los Angeles. Well, this is what I'm saying. First they lived in Chicago. And then they moved to Los Angeles. But my mom was a pretty young girl. Well, you know what, she 20, 21, or 18, somewhere around in there when they moved to Los Angeles.
I'm interested in how these series of the Marcus stores got set up. What was the idea behind?
Well, they were department stores. I mean, they were, well, you saw where Joel lived. Joel, okay. When I was a little girl, that was a two-story department store, the whole thing. Completely. And there were stores like that in Spring Green. There was one in Muscadet, Baskerville, New Glarus. Seems like there was another one. Someplace like Montello or Monticello. Golly. Well, the biggest ones were Baskerville, Muscadet, Spring Green, and New Glarus. And then there were cheese factories and feed mills, farms. I mean, there was just, they had a whole network of things so that, you know, I mean, it was they were really very comfortable. But then, as I say, one by one, the wives weaned the boys away from the small towns, and that's what happened, so that they just couldn't weather. And then little by little, I'm trying to think about how old I was, maybe about in eighth grade or something like that. Oh, I couldn't. Maybe when one of the small towns, Muscadet, my uncle was the mayor, and they also had a furniture factory there and a department store, and there also was a Ku Klux Klan. They torched the department store. I still remember the night because, you know, in a small town, when the fire whistle went off that night, my father jumped into his pants and took off, and then any kids that were old enough, you know, also. And I still remember standing across the street and watching it burn. And in those days, they had charge accounts, you know, and so they played the hoses on the safes to crack the safes so that all the records were ruined by smoke and water and fire. And I remember we kids scrubbed money for days in great big dishpans because it was black, you know, coins that were just all black. Well, they never rebuilt that department store. My uncle, I think he was president of the bank too. And he was very badly burned. they started a fire in that too, like on the third floor, and he went and he walked up there and opened the door and the fire came out of him. He was in the hospital for maybe a year with grafts and skin grafts, and this was truly, it really was Ku Klux Klan.
What was the date of that?
The date? Oh boy. How old are you when you're about in eighth grade?
13.
Oh, I don't think I could have known. I don't think I was
12.
I couldn't have been that old. I had any younger than that. To see it.
Just like within 5 years, 10 years.
Maybe I was 10 years old. Okay, so if I was 10 years old, that's 50 years ago. Oh. Around that time, and I mean, I remember the Chautauquas that used to come to a little town, just like medicine men, carnivals, tent carnivals, and what do they call them? Medicine shows. And it, I don't know. So, well, that was a big deal.
Were there any other Jews there?
No. Always we were the only ones everywhere, which is very strange, but it's true.
What was that like?
Well, I mean, it didn't really make any difference to me. I mean, the kids accepted me. Just they did and they didn't. I mean, there were some kids, you know, who would call you nasty names. So you'd go home and cry. And your mother would tell you not to pay any attention to them, that they didn't know any better, you know. But on the whole, I mean, the friends that I had, was, you know, really wasn't different. And as a little girl, I can remember I used to go to Catholic church with some of my friends, or a Methodist church, or Presbyterian church, you know, for want of something to grab onto, I suppose. So I remember one time my father being so aggravated because the nuns at the Catholic church gave me all kinds of cards, you know, with Saint so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, you know. Because I suppose they figured they might get a convert or something. I don't know. But I'm sure that I only went. You know, I'd sleep over at somebody's house, and I'd go to church with them on Sunday morning. And, I mean, it really never made any difference or meant anything. But at one point, there were two of us in Muscadet, my cousin, my father, and one of his brothers. So there were two families. There were, but I mean, we were, you know, related.
Were they involved in the store?
Yeah, my uncle was the mayor of this small town of Muscadet, and then also he took, I think at one point, he took care of the furniture factory. My father took care of the store. Then. Eventually, after all this went to pot and they lost everything, they moved to Madison. He was very political. He was a Republican of the first water. And he became the head of the motor vehicle department for the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, he was always he was always out stumping. You know, But this was the kind of guy he was. He was there. Whereas, on the other hand, my father was a very, very quiet man. And Uncle Ben was a very outgoing person.
Was your father expected to pick up the store where your grandfather left off?
Well, actually, see, my grandfather never really did do anything with these stores. It was the sons, it was the boys, my father and his brothers who did. My grandfather just kind of hung around. And he really didn't. And the boys are the ones who started the department stores, really. Grandpa, I guess, I don't know, but it just seemed to me like I don't think he ever did.
Did he just remain a peddler?
No, he didn't have to do anything at that time. I'm sure, I don't know what he did, but I suppose he hung around the stores. But he definitely was not the brains, I don't think. And I don't think he was the start of, I mean, his peddling and his, you know, the merchandise. And he probably knew people, and he was probably a good time Charlie, you know. But I, never having known him, I really don't know. That's why I say it's a shame that my aunt isn't around. Because she is the one who would remember all those things. And I really don't. It's very shadowy.
About the furniture factory, how large was it?
Oh, they made beautiful furniture. They made dining room furniture and bedroom furniture. Very beautiful. Well, I mean, for a small town, it probably, you know, I'm sure it employed 100 people or... No, I mean, we take a teeny tiny town, and I really don't know, but I mean, I'm just guessing.
Do you remember if they had any sort of union?
I don't have a faintest notion. They have unions then? They did?
Skilled workers.
50 years ago. I haven't any idea.
What was your first job?
After school? Oh, times were really rough. The first job, I guess, where I really earned practically nothing but money was a secretary to a Jewish man in Madison who had an insurance agency. And only because my father knew that. Oh, things were very rough. There weren't any jobs or anything at that point.
When was that?
Well, that was about it was shortly before the war. 1940? I think. About. Then I got married as we went to war, and then he came back.
Did you ever work in your father's store?
Mm-hmm. All the time as a child I did, I always had to help. And all the time that my husband was overseas, I did. I went back and stayed with them and helped them, my mother and my father.
What was an average day like in the store?
Just like it would be now. People coming in, waiting on them, selling things. I mean, it's just that the people were different. They weren't city people, they were country people.
What was the difference between city people and country people?
Well, their values are very different. Their clothing is very different. Farmers would come in the store in overalls and work shirts, and they really smelled pretty bad, and I mean, it's just, you know, there's no pretense at all. I mean, you don't get dressed up to go to town or whatever they did, and it's just completely different. If you were in the city and you went downtown, put on some nice clothes, and off you went to go shopping. But here you didn't. You did this because you had to do it. You didn't go to go shopping. I mean, per se, you're not shopping. You're going to the store because suddenly the soles have fallen off of Johnny's shoes, and so-and-so, he's, town, and that's why he's shy.
Did they ever come to pass the time of day?
Well, there usually was a lot of chatter, I'm sure. But no, they were busy too. Only people who pass the time of day and that kind of thing, as far as I know, were people who had nothing to do, who, you know, who really didn't do anything.
What did you sell in the store?
Well, by the time I was, you know, when I was a little girl, I'm sure they sold everything. When they had the department stores, they had groceries and soft goods, yard goods, and clothing and overalls and shoes and, you know, anything that you would have in a country department store. Dishes, toys. Just like, probably like something like a shock or something, you know, that kind of thing. Probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Joel had mentioned to me that in the earlier days, the store had given out tokens that were worth redeemable merchandise. That it was given out to farmers for their, for their produce.
I don't know anything about that. I don't even remember that. I know how they used to get premiums. I went to Westtown the other day, or I was shopping last week, I guess, and there was an antique show in the mall. And I looked at this bowl. There was, you know, big mixing bowls this one lady had. They were mottled, sort of blue and kind of tan and stuff. And I looked at this mixing bowl and it said $85. And I said to this lady, $85 for that bowl? And she said, yes, ma'am. And I looked at it and I said, my God, my father used to give those away for free. They were premiums in our department stores. Ours were all broken. We had a whole cupboard full. But another thing, and some that I do have a few of, are spoons, silver spoons, with the, department store etched in, and it says H. Marcus and Sons.
I don't know if I see that one here or not.
I was trying to get enough to give, to be able to give one to each of the kids. And these are the kind of things they gave away for premiums, for shopping, I guess.
Do you remember how much you'd have to buy to get a spoon or a bowl?
I have any idea. There was too little, you know, at this point to really pay attention to any of that. Isn't that funny? And I found one of those not too long ago. I wanted to have one to give to each of the kids. And I don't know what happened to ours, but I couldn't. So every once in a while, in the antique show, I come up with one. So that they'll all have one. Yep.
Do you remember how many hours your father worked in the store?
Probably continually. I'm sure. I'm sure they all did, you know. They would be open forever. I don't know what time they opened in the morning. Maybe 8 o'clock. But I'm sure they were open like every night. But Sundays they weren't. That I remember. That's for sure. But I'm sure that in all those small towns they were open at night.
Did your mother work in the store?
Mm-hmm. And we had a maid. She did, you know. Cleaned and cooked.
Did your mother work in the store full time?
Probably most of the time, really. And I remember her going to buy, you know, going into the city to buy. But she did work pretty full time most of the time.
Which cities would she go to buy?
I think Chicago, mostly. I'm sure. But she really did. She really worked most of the time because she wasn't a home mother, you know. I wish I could tell you more. But things, you know, when you're a kid, I think today children are much more aware of what's going on in a family than we were.
What about your brothers and sisters?
I only had one brother. And he went away to school. Let's see, where did he go to school? Mostly in Muscadet because he was older than I. And graduated. I don't remember. I think he must have graduated from high school in Muscadet. And then he went to Madison, went to university. And then he went away. And then he went to California. He was married. And then all of a sudden came the war. So we really were not ever, you know, from that time on, we really didn't see each other that much.
Was your father involved in any sort of civic affairs in Spring Ring?
Oh, well, just, you know, small town kind of things. He did. Mostly just merchants kind of thing. I know you always seem to be too busy to. And there really wasn't that much to do. Got to know the truth. And I suppose he was on committees for this or that or something, you know. But it always seemed like, you know, if there was a school play or something, he couldn't come because he had to be at the store, you know, that kind of dumb thing. But it was a very quiet life. They had their friends. My mother and father had their friends lived in Madison. I mean, they're closest to them, you know. And I remember them having, they would come in here for parties, or they would have dinner parties there. But the people who came were not the people from Spring Green. They were the people, you know, Jewish people from Madison who they were friendly with. So really there, their friends were, I mean, they had friends, I'm sure. My mother did anyway. I don't think my father really did, but the ladies and my mother. But, you know, it isn't the same. You're not the same kind of friends. Maybe one or two really close, you know, people who were really very friendly. But other than that, that's it. I don't think you can. Any more than my sister-in-law. If something happens there, people are nice to her and they bring her things, and it belongs to a bridge club, you know, and all this sort of thing. But it isn't the same. They're not the same kind of people as if they were Jewish people.
Going back to Muscadet and the furniture factory, did they hire Jews or did they hire local people?
No, just local people. Where were they going to find Jews? There weren't any. You know, I mean, there really weren't any in any of these little towns, except, as I say, we were in Muscadet and we were in Spring Green, and there was one family in Richland Center. And he was a shoe merchant. And my other aunt and uncle was in Boscobel. I mean, you know, just very scattered. Didn't find any Jews, really. Madison had Jews. But that's, as far as I can remember, that's it.
Were your parents happy living in Spring Green?
My father was. And I think my mother was, too, primarily, because her because, I mean, she was happy. She had a good marriage, and you know, she was just happy as a, you know, in a family. And I'm sure she would much rather have lived in the city because most of her friends lived in the city. My mom had more friends than anybody I ever knew in my whole life. Who, friends from high school, from grade school, who kept track of them, each other, all the way through their marriages until they died. Most people can count their friends on one hand. And my mom had the most fantastic correspondence, and not only that, but seeing these people. Some lived in Chicago, some lived in Los Angeles, and no matter where they went, or, you know, they were extremely close, and they would come and visit, she would go there and visit, and people would come, you know, from California, they'd come from Chicago. And I never really knew anyone who had any more, who had friends like she did from grade school, you know. It's fantastic. I don't. I mean, I don't. I have friends, but a few, but not like that.
When she went on buying trips to Chicago, how long would she stay away?
I mean, I don't remember. I'm sure she would stay a few days. I remember it, but... Actually, I suppose I don't remember because there wasn't any problem at home. We had a maid, and things went on, and I went to school, and I did all the things that I would normally do. So it really, you know, there was nothing traumatic about it. And that's probably why I don't remember any of those things.
Did your father get his merchandise from Jewish merchants?
I have absolutely no idea where they bought or what. It seems to me that some of the things there used to be a place in Chicago called Carson Perry Scott or something, you know, something, and I vaguely remember, you know, things. But as far as where they purchased their merchandise, I just have no idea. I'm sure it wasn't particularly Jewish people. I mean, they'd buy overalls from Lee or Oshkosh or, you know, just like you do today. Wherever you bought merchandise.
Did they ever try introducing any kind of Jewish food, special kosher food?
Sweetie, who would buy it? You're living in a small town. It just has nothing to do with the city in any form. And it's now, maybe, yes, but in those days, it was strictly rural. Absolutely. I mean, these were farm people. They were like peasants. Most of them. And there's nothing that you could do or introduce, or you lived the way you lived, but you respected the way they lived, because this was their life, and this was their country. So, in other words, you were making a living. You wanted to make a living, you were making a living off of them. But you didn't try and change them, because there was no point to it, and you couldn't. I mean, today a small town is not like it was then. I mean, now you can zoom into Madison in 30, 40 minutes and do all your shopping here and clothes and this and that and the other thing, but then you couldn't. And so you bought what was in the department there, and the things that were there were the things that they... It's just, if you never lived that way, you can't appreciate it, or you can't, you know, there's nothing that you could introduce or you could do or you could change, and there wasn't really any reason to do it or to change anything.
Did your family make a large attempt to maintain your Jewish identity?
Well, sure we did. Oh, absolutely. I mean, we didn't, we were Jews, and we lived as Jews would live. So we certainly didn't observe, in the stores we had to observe Christmas. You know, I mean, this thing, you had Christmas business, and you had Christmas trees, and, you know. But other than that, I mean, there wasn't anything that was Christian.
Did you
about how you lived or how you ate or how you, you know, whatever you did was your own thing. And so you were different. But not to the extent of being different like an Orthodox would be. So.
Were your parents very religious?
No. We never had a kosher home. We didn't make any big deal about Saturday. Or, you know, so in other words, our values were our values, but not... Okay.
You're talking about the values?
Well, I mean, you just, you know, you lived amongst Christians, but you weren't Christian. I guess that's really the best way to put it.
Going back to these stores, the Marcus stores and these different towns, did the brothers get together at any time during the year and have a meeting or decide how they would be run collectively?
Yeah. As I say, I was such a little girl that those things really wouldn't mean anything to me. And the only way you could find out any those kind of things really would be to talk to my aunt, who would remember that. Because she was involved. Her husband managed one of the stores. So she would, you know, she would know. But those are the kind of things that I'm sorry I don't know, but I don't. Because as I say, I was a little girl and I just didn't pay any attention. Wasn't any reason to. All I had to do was go to school and play.
Do you happen to know when they first started to dissolve?
Well, I just know that whenever the crash was, I suppose it was at the time, Wall Street probably was the same.
1929.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's when it was. Not sure, but I'm pretty sure.
What exactly happened that they decided to sell?
Well, no, it isn't that they decided to sell. It was that, as I said, the wives were all city girls, and they were just not, they weren't as content as my mother was. So they just noodled their husbands until they just left. And they went to the city. And but in leaving, they pulled out the money that was their share. So that when it came right down to it, there wasn't enough money to weather something like this. They didn't have the capital because everybody had taken their share out. And had this not happened, I suppose, and times had been good, it really wouldn't have mattered. So, I mean, and this is really about all I know about it, because as I say, I really don't remember. I was only like about 8 years old. And at 8 years old, you really don't pay attention to that kind of thing, or 7 years old.
How about when you came back to the store after you were grown and worked in the store?
Well, by this time, it was not any department stores. By this time, it was my father's store. And so for 2 years while my husband was overseas, I just stayed and helped him. I just worked there. But again, it was a department store and soft goods store. But by this time, my father didn't have groceries in there, which was good.
Why
there
not?
Was,
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I guess he just didn't want to deal with them. They were a pain in the neck and a lot more work. So really, what all he had was soft goods, which, you know, made it a little easier. But how they started again, or how he started again, you see, I really don't know either. But I suppose he got a loan. Started all over, fresh.
Was he living above the store at that point?
I think he was at that time, because, but it wasn't like, it didn't look like it does now. You know, I mean, there wasn't a fancy apartment up there. Because, as I say, my mom and my brother and I went to Madison, and my mom worked in a department store in Madison that time. My brother went to college, and I went to high school. And my father would come every weekend and spend, you know, like spend Sunday until he got, you know, really got it rolling. And then my mom moved back. Well, by this time, my brother was in college. And I was sent away to school, so there was just really the two of them. And they had an apartment. And they lived in. In the beginning, I was born, well, you probably saw it, a really big house down the street. That's where I was born. But by this time, I think my mom and dad just had an apartment. And then afterwards, I think before I came back, Dad built an apartment upstairs. Not the one that you see now, but it was very nice. And then when, after he died and Helen and George, George came and he and my mom had the store, and then my mother moved out, and then George got married, and then they fancied up the apartment up there. And why, I never know. I would rather have lived in a house. No matter how fancy it is. But to each his own. So, and that, my dear, is about all I can tell you, really. Because as I say, as a little girl, you don't do much besides go to school and play. And I was a little girl. I was 7, 8 years old. But the one thing that I can tell you is that living in a small town and being the only Jewish family is kind of lonely. It really is. And for you, having lived in New York and having your own, it's like living in Israel, where all your friends are Jewish. Right? It's like, you know, I still never can get over that feeling. Whenever I'm in Israel and I'm walking down the street and I'm looking at people and I think, oh, everybody's Jewish. It isn't a question of looking at some and say, gee, I wonder if they're Jewish. But if you do, if that goes through your mind, you think, boy, I'm really crazy, you know, because everybody is. And this is how it is if you live in New Jersey or New York or your friends and your whole, I'll bet you practically everybody in your school, in your class was Jewish when you were little. If you live, yes, that's what I mean. If you lived in a suburb,
yeah,
sure. So it's the same thing. And it's really lonesome in a small town as far as I'm concerned. Because my very best friends are Jewish. And I married someone who was Jewish. And it's just, you know, it's your way of life. So I don't know whether this has helped you or has it really? Okay, good.